Welcome to Life Church Birmingham.
I think I'm a little hot up here.
We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful.
Shalom to all my
Christ.
Gentile friends.
We know you will receive.
Well, Pastor John and I had the opportunity, really of a lifetime, to go to the Holy Land and see and witness and learn. And it is very difficult to put into words what we were able to be part of. And I would highly encourage you to put it on your bucket list and work vigorously towards being in Israel at some point in the foreseeable future. I think that you will come back and you will thank me for encouraging you. I know I am doing the same for those who encourage me to go. So there's nothing like being led in worship by an IDF soldier with a loaded AR-15 slung around his back and a guitar in the front, exalting Jesus as Messiah. The earth is pregnant with fulfilled prophecies, and Jesus' return is so close. It is so close. We've got to get ready, church. Come on, we got to get ready. Our theme text for this year is Romans 8:37, and I want us to say it together out loud. It says, knowing all these things, we have been made more than conquerors through him who loved us. Can we say that together on the count of three? One, two, three. No. In all these things, we have been made more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let's do that again on the count of three. One, two, three. No. In all these things, we have been made more than conquerors through him who loved us. Joshua chapter 3, we're continuing in that story. I want to thank Joni and Pastor Lisa. I got so many encouraging reports. I don't know if they're in the room. They may be changing their bat costumes in on the way in. But man, what a powerful team we have. And thank you, Joni. I got reports all the way in the Holy Land about what was happening. And so thank you for that powerful leading and worship in the Word. Joshua chapter 3. The people of Israel are about to cross over from Jordan into the Promised Land, what is now Jordan. Pastor John and I got to be at the site where they would have crossed over, just north of the Dead Sea. And so Joshua chapter 3, here it is. We'll read the whole chapter early in the morning. Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move from your positions and to follow it. Then you will know which way you are to go, since you've never been this way before. That's a great underlying place to underline. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the ites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, lost my place, Amorites, and Jebusites. I don't even know what time it is. My body wants to say it's bedtime right now, but I know it's not. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priest who carried the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp across the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at flood stage during the harvest season. And as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing and piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of the Zetharathim. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabath, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan. Can you picture it? And stood on dry ground while all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed over on dry ground. Father, we are stunned that you have chosen us this morning to be recipients of grace. It is not by our own strength that we can be saved. It is by the mercy of God. We thank you for mercy. We thank you that we don't get what we deserve. Lord, we get mercy. Thank you for the Messiah, for Jesus, for coming. Now illuminate the word to us so that we can be what Romans 8:37 tells us that we are, more than conquerors in Christ who gives us strength. Amen. 40 years of aimless wandering. 40 years of wasted life. Just existing. Just getting by. Living lives that seem to be void of any real meaning. Missing out on their intended purpose. A people that were created, they were created for promised land conquering, but they have relinquished themselves to just existing in the desert. Now, that generation was gone, and a new generation was there, and there's Joshua leading them. They had wandered. They had what had been modeled to them was faithless disobedience, but that was gone. That was dead. That was in the past. Now God's doing something new. God's doing something new. He has a new generation ready to go after him and possess the promises that he has set aside for you. And he gives instructions. I want us to zero in on three verses. And we'll read them again. The first three. Early in the morning, Joshua sets out. And all the Israelites from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before the crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp. They gave the orders. Here's the orders. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and Levitical priests carrying it, so when you see that, right, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Verse 4, you will know where to go since you've never been there before. Have been that way before. You haven't gone into this territory before. This is something new. How are you going to know? How will you know where to go? How will you, is there a direction that God can give us? He says, follow the ark. I want to dig in from 3 weeks ago a little bit. God is on the move. You must know that. The question we have to ask ourselves is not, is God on the move? The question is, will we move with him? That's the question we have to ask. Life Church, God is on the move. The question is, will we go with him? God has more for us. He has more faith, more power, more miraculous provision, more supernatural. Do you believe that God has for you more joy, more overcoming, more conquering, more advancement, more defeating darkness, Christ exalted living, more change, more sanctification? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, God's not done with you. He ain't leaving you alone. More strength, more anointing, more authority, more miracles. Listen, more territory. The Old Testament is like a drama being played out behind a sheer curtain that we can see shadows. Joshua crossing the Jordan is a picture for us about the territory that God wants you to conquer. Fun fact, where Joshua crossed over is the same place that Jesus was baptized. Fun fact. And me and John dipped our little toe into the dirty Jordan River. Man, that thing is dirty. People from all over the world. One side Israel, other side Jordan. Both nations coming to remember. This is the place. If you're a Jew and you don't believe in Christ the Messiah, this is the place where Joshua crossed over. If you follow Christ, you believe in him for the forgiveness of your sin, this is the place where not just Joshua crossed over, but the New Testament Joshua, Jesus, stepped into the Jordan and was baptized. It's a place of new beginnings, a place of overcoming, a place of starting, of conquering. Inside the ark were three things. We discussed them 3 weeks ago. I want to dig into them a little bit this morning. And then share with you one of the most powerful stories I've ever heard in my entire life. In the ark was the tablet of the Ten Commandments. So they're carrying this. The budding rod of Aaron and a golden jar of manna. For bonus points, when you say all three, you get a star by your name, and you're exempt from the quiz on Friday. The stone tablets, the Ten Commandments, the budding rod of Aaron, and in a golden jar of manna. So what's the deal? Why follow the ark? Why was there instruction? It wasn't a super big thing. It wasn't like you could see it from a half mile away. It wasn't super tall. What is it about the ark? It represents, listen, the activity of Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the moving of God. Follow the ark of the covenant. Follow that. The Ten Tablets represent God's holy standard. You know what's on them, right? We remember the Ten Commandments. You know, don't kill, don't lie, don't commit adultery. As the people moved into the promised land, they were guided by God's word. This is so important. Not their own desires, not their own emotions, not hype. Should we get excited? 100%. Should we get pumped up? 100%. But they were guided by the word of God. It represented God's covenant with them. We are not able to keep covenant with God. Thank God that he sent Jesus to be a bridge, to fulfill the law and the prophets so we could come before him clean. And the ark has inside of it the Ten Commandments, God's standard, God's revealed will. If you want to know the will of God for your life, read the word. If you want to know, if you want to hear God's audible voice, read the Bible out loud. That was, try to be funny there, but it's true. It's 8:30 p.m. Obedience is better than lifting your hands on a Sunday. Obedience is better than singing songs in church. Obedience is better than giving 25% of your income to the kingdom. Obedience is better than leading life groups, going on mission trips, and giving all you have to the poor. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And there's a story by King Saul. Saul wanted to do things his way. God had established his law sometime later, his kingdom through Saul. The people asked for a king. God's desire was a monarchy, but they wanted a king like everybody else. They wanted to be like everybody else. So God said, okay, I'll give you a king. But the king's flawed, and he made a fatal error. In 1 Samuel 15, the prophet Samuel confronts him, confronts the king. Now, you got to know, that's pretty gutsy, because he could have your, like, head. He confronts the king in 1 Samuel 15:22. He confronts him with the sin, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as he does as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion, listen, rebellion is like the sin of divination, or your translation may say witchcraft. Rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, like conjuring up spirits. And arrogance is like the evil of idolatry, because you have rejected the Lord, or the word of the Lord. He has rejected you as king. It was over for him. Why? Because he didn't follow the word. He didn't follow the word. Before Israel could walk into promise, before you can walk into fullness of the promise that God has for you, you have to walk under the authority of God's word. You have to walk under the authority of God's word. You have to walk under the authority of God's word. If you go to the Western Wall this morning, it'll be tonight, there's 24/7 prayer at the Wailing Wall. They take their prayer requests on paper and stuff them in the crevices. They're crammed in there twice a year. They remove them and take them out and bury them at a certain spot. And there is a very conservative sect of Jews that will literally take the word and put it on their forehead. And they come walk around with boxes. Inside the boxes are scriptures. And they walk and they pray with Old Testament law scriptures bound to their forehead and to their wrist. Be a people under the word of God. Let the authority of God be your power. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Listen, when it seems like the world rewards sacrifice of the disobedient, don't be dismayed. God knows. God knows your obedience. God knows the times that you said no to the world and yes to him. Let him exalt you. Let him elevate you. Let him be the one that lifts you up. Be a people under the word. That we would be under the authority of God's word. That our strength would come because we follow the Bible, the commands of the word. You can't step into God's promises while ignoring God's principles. The word must go before you. Obedience, look, positions you for breakthrough. The waters would have never parted. The Jordan would have never dried up. It would have never gone to a heap had the Levites not stepped into the waters and watched them stop flowing. Put yourself in their position. Now you are carrying the stone tablets. God etched those. You are carrying the budding rod of Aaron. It's got buds on it. It's dead. It's been cut off for years. Every man in the desert likes a big stick to carry around. Let me tell you one thing that I learned. Jesus was in shape. Because every time you turn around, you're going up a hill or down a hill, man. We were worn out, man. Jesus was in shape. I can tell you that. Because you were going down or up, down, up, down, up. They're carrying the budding rod of Aaron and a golden jar of manna. They were reminded of the provision, but they couldn't live in the past. God has something new for them. Listen, step into the waters, step into obedience, let the word of God guide you. If you want to cross your Jordan, follow the word. If you want to cross your Jordan, follow the word. Moving towards God requires obedience to his established truth. The ark represents a foreshadowing of Christ in whom the law is fulfilled. Jesus guides us. He guides his followers through the scripture, through his spirit. God is God of covenant. Therefore, God had to design a sacrificial system that pointed to a lamb that would come one day, fulfill a lasting covenant. The stone tablets that had the Ten Commandments. Number two, inside the ark was Aaron's budding rod. The Israelites had questioned Aaron's leadership. And to abbreviate the story, you should go back and read it to kind of get the thrust. To make a statement, and as a sign, God caused Aaron's rod, his walking stick, to bud. It was cut off. It was dead. It was hardened. The life had flowed out of it. There was no xylem and phloem. How do you like that, Dr. Stewart? Memorize that from sixth grade. There's no xylem and phloem. It's dead. And all of a sudden, here comes buds. Little almond buds, little flowers. Little green popping out. Where'd that come from? God. The rod represents God's divine authority. His authority. His authority in Israel. His authority in his kingdom. So in the Old Testament, it showed the people that God was with Aaron like he was with Moses. Because Moses had like the 10 plagues going for him. right? He had Pharaoh let my people go going for him. He had the rod turned into a snake and a snake. He had all that going for him, right? He had favorably disposed going for him. He had all that. What's Aaron got? God says, I want to establish something as a sign to the people. I will bring life where there's death. Where there's death, it's dried up and gone. I'm going to bring some life to show that my authority is upon you, Aaron. This thing is on airplane mode, and it's talking to me. I said, Jesus is Lord. That's what I said. How does that work? Sorry about that. Did you hear that? Serious, like, rude, interrupting our time together. Where was I? Oh, God dealt harshly with rebellion. Like, people died. People died. Rebellion is likened to the sin of divination or witchcraft. Oh? Yeah. Rebellion is like satanic worship. Oh? That's a pretty strong statement. There's vision, and then there's more than one vision called division. Division. Wherever there's rebellion, it brings division. Following God's vision doesn't mean everyone always agrees on everything. It doesn't mean that at all. It actually means we can agree to disagree on some things and still be unified and together, right? But they rebelled against God's established authority, and when there's rebellion against God's authority, death comes. Death comes. Death comes. People die. Their lives become meaningless, and they're void of purpose and meaning, and they're gospel deprived, and they don't know Jesus, and death comes. So the rod represents God's divine authority. It represents resurrection life where there was death. Now life has come. There's no way life could have come there. I think of a story in I think it's Ezekiel, the dry bones, right? The valley. There's a valley. What do you see, friend? I see a bunch of bones. Oh, yeah? Can they come to life? I thank God you only know that. God's purpose is bring life. Following God's word and his vision for your life, life comes. Where there's death, where there's destruction, restoration comes. Before crossing over the Jordan into the promises, Israel was reminded this. God's authority brings life where there was death. God has called you to walk in his kingdom authority. Now, what does this mean for us? It means that God has called you to walk in kingdom authority. God has called you to be a bridge, to be a holder of light, to expose darkness and dispel it and bring life. God has called you to bring life where there was death. How does God accomplish his will upon the earth? He accomplishes his will on the earth through his people. How does he feed the hungry? Because someone said, I'm going to do something about that. How does God defend the defenseless? Because he sends one of his people to say, this stops right here. How does God pour out compassion on the earth? Through his compassionate people. Don't you see, friend? You've been called to walk in the authority that God has given you. And you are in more authority when you are under authority. When you are under the authority of the Word of God, and when you are under the spiritual authority of spiritual leaders in your life. God doesn't reward lone rangers. He works in community with his people. Now, I'm preaching better than you realize right now. I just want to say that, Lynn. Just if you get up and run, I won't stop you. Just come back. What God ordains, God empowers. What God ordains, God empowers. Listen. God has given you positions of authority. You have small kingdoms inside the bigger kingdom. What God ordained, God empowers. Look at me. Move forth in authority. Quit being subject. Quit being subject to the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and all. Quit being subject to that. Walk in the authority. Walk in your giftedness. God has called it. He will confirm it. They trusted in God's chosen leadership. Ultimately, a picture of Christ would lead them through the Jordan. He reminds us to trust Jesus, to trust his messengers, to trust God's appointed. It reminds us that there is resurrection power in difficult situations. There is order that God wants to bring when there's chaos. He's a God of order, and we're a people of order, and we follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we go, order comes because darkness is disrupted. Number three. What's left? Golden jar of manna. Pastor John and I actually brought some manna back with us. We have some manna we'd like to give each of you. I'm just kidding. We're selling it. For when you see someone selling manna, you'll know right away. Run and grab your wallet at the same time while you're running. We're not selling manna anymore. It's gone. The whole point was, it was temporary. So the people get out of Egypt and they're in the desert, right? And now they run out of PB&J sandwiches. They run out of hummus and pita bread. Listen, y'all, you ain't had hummus till you had that Jewish hummus, man. I didn't know, if you're in Israel, you eat vegetables for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, some of y'all cook, like, zucchinis and peppers, and you put, what you got to do for breakfast is just make it cold, and then you eat like that. I didn't know. So me and John are super healthy. Gained about 5 pounds, but we're super healthy right now. So they come out of the desert, they come out of Egypt into the desert, and they run out of food. They're now how are we going to eat? We're in the desert, God. We can only have so much goat milk cheese, right? Like, it's kind of sparse. God says, I got you covered. He gives them instructions to go outside their tent every morning. I guess if you slept too long, you missed because it dried up. God rewards the diligent. I think there's a principle right there. And if you're lazy, you probably go hungry. There's another principle right there. So God provides manna. Manna actually means, what is it? It means, what is it? That's the meaning. What is it? Because they didn't know what it was. And they're scooping it up, and it had a sweet taste. And so they would scoop it up every morning. Every day they were to go outside and scoop up enough for themselves for their tent, right? They couldn't stock it up like Y2K. They couldn't put it up in the, you know, the basement with beans and rice. They couldn't do that because it would go bad. It would go get maggots and go rot. Some of them tried it. They're like, oh, God's whatever, God. And they did it, and it went rotten, right? Except for before Sabbath. Then you could do 2 days' worth and store it up for Sabbath. Now, Israel takes Sabbath, like, seriously. If you want to buy something outside of a medical life-threatening emergency, or you want to go shopping, you better do it before, 4:30, 5 o'clock? Whatever. If you ain't, you do it without. They take it seriously. They take it seriously. So store up for that day. So God would provide supernaturally. He created dependence upon him. A dependence upon the unknown. What is it? I'm not sure. How does it work? I don't know. I just go out every morning. It's there. How do you know it's going to be here tomorrow? I don't know. It was here yesterday, so it's probably going to be here tomorrow. How do you know it's going to be here the next day? I don't know. It's been the pattern of God for a few weeks, months, years. A child grows up. That's all they know. Joshua's generation, who was born in the desert, they didn't even know there was a Walmart or a Publix or an all. They didn't even know. They went outside and scooped it up. They were living off the provision of God supernaturally every day. God required obedience. You got to get out of your tent and go work a little bit. I mean, you had to scoop it up at least. They got to go to work a little bit. God provides supernaturally in the wilderness. Can I tell you, if you're in a wilderness right now, God's supply has not run out on you. God's supply has not run out on you. He is providing for you. He will provide for you everything that you need. There are seasons when we go through times where it's like, I've done everything I can to supply for myself. I've done everything you told me, and nothing seems to work. God's got you in those seasons. Now, you're about to come out of the desert, and you will conquer your first city, Jericho. There's no manna on the other side of the Jordan. Oh. Everything changes now. In the past, when God supernaturally provided for you day by day, he will equip you in the future to work with him to supply for yourself under his power. He will teach them how to cultivate land. He will teach them how to maximize a land flowing with milk and honey. He will show them how he will provide for them through the sweat of their brow and the working of the land, and it will be fruitful. When you go into a new season, many times God's provision source changes. Be open in new seasons to new sources of provision. And you can know that when one source dries up, God has not forgotten about you. He's just equipping you for what's next. He's equipping you for something better. He's equipping you to fulfill his promises through you. And so they're about to go into the promised land, into Jericho. No more manna. They'll eat from the fruit of the land. They will cultivate the land. They will eat from its fruit. They will work the soil and cause it to flourish. It will flow with milk and honey. It will be supernaturally fertile. The Dead Sea has about 33% salt in it. It's so full of salt, you can't sink. Syria has cut off the Jordan north of Israel. Israel's cooperated with them because they don't need the Jordan as much as they used to, because they figured out how to desalinate a bunch of stuff and pipe it in. If you go to the Dead Sea, you can tell there it used to be bigger. I mean, you don't have to be a archaeologist or a geologist or an enologist. You can just get up and say, well, this on the banks of the Dead Sea, Israel has figured out how to wash the soil and make it fertile. You could go to the Dead Sea right now and see massive forests of date trees and palms and foliage. Am I telling the truth, John? Like, there was 33% salt water here a few decades ago, and now you're growing stuff. It's amazing. When none of your neighbors will trade with you and several of them want to cease you to exist from the planet Earth, you learn how to be self-sufficient and self-contained. It will flow with milk and honey. They would leave behind, listen, the old reliance on the wilderness and trust God for his new provision in a new land. In a new season, God will provide for you many times in a new way. Don't be afraid to go into a new season because you don't see how it's going to work. Follow God's leadership and watch as God provides in impossible situations, doesn't he? He provides in impossible situations. To receive God's provision means you have to gather it his way. Trust God, there will be more tomorrow. The principle of first fruits, that's what it's all about. I will offer God the first, believing there will be more later. The tithes are first fruits. If you're not tithing as a discipline, I honestly feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you because you miss out on the dependence on the Lord and seeing his breakthrough. You miss out on the overflow. I feel sorry for you. God's provision comes when we obey him. And there's that jar of manna reminding that if he did it in the past, he'll do it again tomorrow. It's a daily dependence. The God who provided yesterday will provide again. Worship team, come if you would. Following God's presence, his promised covenant. Inside is the Ten Commandments, right? Inside is the budding rod of Aaron. Inside is a golden jar of manna. They crossed over from the side that Jordan is on to the Jordan River into what is now Israel to conquer the first city that God gave them. Jericho. Jericho still exists. One thing that I learned, that we learned, is everywhere you go in that whole place, there's 10 or 12 layers underneath you of world history. They're still discovering stuff. Still. They'll stumble upon something. Oh, that's where it is. They dig. How do they know? Because they'll dig at artifacts. They'll see walls. They'll see them connected and put all the pieces together. One of the cool stories I've ever heard is happening right there in that valley right now. Between the Jordan and Jericho. just north. Imagine crossing the Jordan. Here's Jericho. You cross here. You can actually Google that area, and there's a marker. It'll say the place of Jesus Christ's baptism. Also where Joshua crossed. So here's Jericho, just north of that. It's a valley. It's called Enoch Kadim. It means east of the spring. 20 years ago, Omar and Naima got married. They actually got married right there. Naima's from Tel Aviv, kind of a big city. It's the tech place. Jerusalem's the old city. She was a city girl, married Omar, and he had a vision. They had a vision. Let's get married and let's possess territory that God has given our people. Omar and Naima are Messianic Jews. Do you know what that means? That means that they are Jewish believers in Christ as the Messiah. That's what Messianic Jew means. They are Jewish. They believe Christ is the Messiah. They follow Jesus. They are Jewish Christians, Messianic Jews. They got married, and they wanted to cultivate the land. It was barren. It was desert. This is just north of Jericho. You can actually see Jericho from their farm. You can see it. Begin to cultivate the land. Begin to have babies, 7 to be exact. And they began to see desert territory become flourishing again. They began to irrigate with drip irrigation and plant forests of dates and palms and olive trees and grow olives and make olive oil. And then they thought, you know, how can we give back? How can we give back? The whole time, they have to defend their land, because on the ridge is a Palestinian training facility. And this is Naima here. Where is she? There she is. I want you to look at her left hip on her belt. Go to the next picture. They do that because they have to defend their God-given territory. This flourished so much that the Israeli government recognized it and gave them 1,800 more acres. They now have 2,000 acres, and they thought, how can we give back? So they built their home bigger, blew out some walls, and said, give us the troubled young people of Israel. Give us distraught teenagers, troubled kids who don't have direction in life, and let them come to us. And we will love them, and they will work the soil, and they will work the land, and we will teach them how to have value and self-worth. We will teach them skills. We'll teach them how motors work and how tractors work and how hard work produces fruit. We will teach them how to make olive oil and box dates, and we will teach them. And they've had over 400 young people come through their farm to live and be restored. And now Israel has recognized this as a model for the rest of the nation. And Omar and Naima have been asked to reproduce what they've done just north of Jericho across Israel. See, So here's a picture of a couple teenage boys who've come to work. You'll probably notice first the shovel across their back. Oh, I'm sorry, that's an AR-15 with a 30-round clip in it. You know why? Because they have to defend their territory against people who want to murder them. The Palestinians will come and harass and shoot them. Bombs will go off. They'll have to go to the bomb shelter. But everybody can't go to the bomb shelter. Some have to pull security in a perimeter. Guess who does it? Teenagers. It's hard to express the thinking of a people who've had to scrap for their lives for decades. But yet in the midst of that, God has honored that, and they have flourished. And now you can go there and buy their dates and buy their olive oil and buy their date honey. Back in June, when the United States bombed Iranian nuclear sites, Israel participated at some level, and here comes the rockets from Iran. I think it was 500 rockets and 250 suicide drones, right? And so the Iron Dome starts shooting them down. Throw the next picture up. Guess what? They missed. Name was a boss lady. She said, we walked outside and saw the skies lit up, thinking, those are meant for us. Iron Dome shoots one down. It actually was just outside their property in Palestinian territory. And she said, go get that missile. It was meant for us. It's ours. And they went with the truck, drug that thing back to the end of the driveway and stuck it in the ground. When you're willing to follow the leading of the Lord, He will take you into new territory. Do not think you will not be opposed. Listen, do not think you will not be opposed. You will be opposed. You will be opposed. And that's exactly what Paul meant in Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, and famine, and nakedness, and torture, and persecution, and all these things, you will be what? More than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who gives us strength. Wish I could have bottled up the atmosphere on that soil. Just stunned to hear. And I think of the excuses that come through my mind that are embarrassing to mention. And why God can't do this or that. You have been made more than a conqueror through Him who gives you strength. You've been made more than a conqueror through Him who gives you strength. You have been made more than a conqueror through Him who gives you strength. Inside of you this morning are bottled up dreams and goals and ambitions and desires that God has placed there, and He's waiting. He's waiting for you to put that in the right atmosphere so it can germinate and grow. Make bold declarations. Make bold affirmations. Read the word and say, God, this is your word to me. I am safe under your authority, and I will move in authority and power not with arrogance, but with humility, but knowing that greater is he that's within me, come on, than he that's in the world. That's right. Would you stand to your feet all over the place? This is a year of conquering. This is a year of overcoming. This is a year of saying no to the old and saying yes to the new. This is a year that God wants you to say no. Say no to the devil. 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 No, in all these things, we've been made more than a conqueror through him who gives us strength. We've been made more than a conqueror. Do you believe that? What if opposition comes? No, in all these things, we've been made. What if Iranian missiles try to land in your backyard? No, in all these things. This is my territory. God has given it to me. I will advance the kingdom in the midst of darkness. No, in all these things. No, in all these things. No, in all these things. I've learned that the biggest conversation that we battle is not an audible conversation. It's an internal conversation. Put your hand on your head. Put your hand on your head. Jesus, we give you our thoughts. Tell him right now. God, I give you my thoughts. Now put one hand on your heart, one hand on your head. Musicians, you can stop playing a moment. God, we give you our thoughts right now. We give you our thoughts right now. We give you every thought, God. Every argument, pretension that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. We tear it down. We tear it down. Jesus, come in your power. Expose darkness. Rid us of faithlessness. Rid us, oh God, of faithlessness. Rid us, God, of thoughts that aren't pleasing to you. Rid us of self-defeating ideologies, self-defeating thoughts of fear. And oh, God, I can't do that. God, help us see the possibilities of what you have for us. Now, God, as our hand is on our heart, we pray over our emotions, God. Give us, God, spur us on with power. But give us authority over the swaying of our emotions. God, we're up one day and down the next. God, we can be so full of zeal and then ready to run the next. So, God, we submit to you. Tell them right now, I submit to you my emotions. God, I submit them to you, Lord. They're yours. I submit them to you. Now lift both hands towards heaven. God, release your kingdom agenda through me. Ask him right now. Release your kingdom agenda through me. Right now, release your kingdom agenda through me. Release your kingdom agenda through me right now. Release your kingdom agenda. As the worship team begins to play, here's our response. Here's our response. Today, we're saying, God, all I have is yours. I'm going to cross over with you. I'm across. God has been dealing with some of us about new territories. God's been dealing with some of us about new things. And some of us, maybe you couldn't say that with certainty except to know that God is on the move and you want to go with him. You want to go with him. You want to go with him. Jesus, we're yours. Jesus, yours. God, advance your kingdom agenda through us. Come on, pray that. Come on, advance your kingdom agenda through us. Advance your kingdom agenda through us. We're going to do this in layers. Number one, you come in not serving the Lord, but today's your day. Your first step is to say yes to him. To say yes. You have been living apart from Christ. You have not been serving him. You've been saying yes to the flesh and no to Christ. You have been denying Christ, but today's your day. Today's your homecoming day. Today's your homecoming day. And Jesus is saying, I've been waiting for you. I've left the 99 to come chase you down, and I've got your number. I know who you are. I love you this morning. And today, if that's you, I just want you to lift your hands to heaven right now. Say, God, I'm yours. Come on, tell him. If that's you today, just say, God, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. Oh, God, I'm yours. Come on. Come on, God, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. I'm yours today, oh, God. I'm yours today, Master. I'm yours today. God, forgive me of my sins. Just tell him right now. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Jesus, I surrender control of my life to you. You're Messiah. Just tell him right now. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died. Tell him. Say, God, I believe that, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. I believe that. Tell him. Say, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Now I surrender my life to you. Jesus, lead me. Jesus, lead me. Jesus, lead me. All across the room, there's a spirit of surrender. There's a spirit of surrender right now. Surrender to God's ways, to the new things that God has for you, to reestablishing of things that you know that God had established in you have fallen by the wayside, to defend the territory. You have been discouraged and beaten up. You've been frustrated and beaten up and discouraged because the fiery darts of the enemy, because those missiles are coming at you. But God's got you. 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 If you're here today and you say, man, I'm a surrendering guy, I'm a surrendering girl, I want you just to flood these altars right now. Come, come. You say, I'm surrendering today. I'm surrendering to my will, my way. Come, come. Maybe for the first time, or maybe you're just saying, God, I'm surrendering to you. I'm surrendering my agenda. I'm surrendering my ways. I'm surrendering to you. You have authority in my life. God, I'm yours. I'm a man of surrender. I'm a woman of surrender. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am, Jesus. I just want you to begin to lift your hands and worship all over the place. Some of you are going to want to find a place to just sit before the Lord, to kneel, to reestablish the kingdom authority that he has for you, for the visions and the dreams that God has for you. He has not forgotten about you. He wants to take you across. He's stopping the flow of your opposition so you can enter in. So you can enter in. Come on. Come on. Begin to worship the Lord. Begin to say, God, I give you myself. God, I give you myself.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.